Hey, JB is in the house, the wolf in the wolf's den. Let me tell you something. I said to you that, you know, the great thing about my podcast is, you know, because I'm thankfully very well known around the world, I don't have to always have celebrities on. I could have people who really don't have much of a reputation, aren't well known, have them on here, and I could just, you know, find interesting people that you don't really ever see. This guy falls into the exact opposite category, dude. This guy's a mega star, famous. And by the way, you know what? I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to introduce him in 1 second. How about right now? Logan Paul, my man.
How you doing?
All right. And let me just say something. I don't know, you know, what you know about him or not. Okay. But one thing I can promise you is any sort of like, you know, predisposition you have to say, oh, those YouTube kids get luck. Let me tell you something. There's some fucking luck involved in this shit. I want to tell you, I know that for a fact. You got to be smart, sharp, on the ball. No asshole is getting famous by accident. If they are, they won't be famous for long. And you're doing it again and again, pal.
Hey, thank you.
So I mean, you know, I mean that, bud.
Yeah, I know. You were very friendly towards me on my podcast, and it seemed very genuine, and I appreciate it, man, for real. Like,
because I think the problem is that people will look at you and say, oh, those, all they do is stupid gag stuff.
Well, it's very true. But the shtick is, like, if you do an accumulation of stupid things, eventually it adds up to be one really smart thing that makes you a lot of money and gets you famous.
Really? By the way, you know, I think there's people on Wall Street that would kind of disagree. Say, on Wall Street, like with the mortgage crisis, you can't take pieces of shit and then make lots of pieces of shit into something great. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think that's true. I think, no, I
I'm being facetious. Yeah.
I don't think you
there's
honestly,
more to it.
There's more to it than that. Yeah, no, yeah. You're being self-deprecating. You don't have to be here because I know you're a fucking stud. Seriously.
Okay. Right,
and
you.
I want the real Logan Paul. Mm. So it's not bullshit. It's what you do is, well, it's planned out, right? It's strategic. Yeah. Maybe it didn't start that way, right?
Yeah.
Let's tell me how it started.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I picked up a video camera when I was in Ohio, 9, 10 years old, and I uploaded my first video to this place called YouTube, this brand new website where anyone could watch your videos. And then, you know, it took off. 8 years later, Vine came out, popped off on Vine. And you're right. Like, the intent was never to be business strategic.
Right.
I want to be famous. I just really, really enjoyed making videos, which is also, I think, why I've stuck around for so long and why I will be around for so long is because, like, I don't necessarily do this shit for just money or clout.
You enjoy it.
I really fucking love it.
Go back. How old are you right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
24.
All right. So you started, how old was it? When did you, said you were how old?
Dude, I think I was 8 when I picked up a photographic camera.
Right.
And then 10 when I got my first video camera.
And you posted on YouTube.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Nothing. Literally 8 years of failure.
Right. So,
well, also the videos weren't great. You can imagine.
Right.
But
what kind of shit was it? What was the stuff you early posted?
Imagine an extremely like devolved version of what I'm doing now. I'm not kidding. It was like the same thing. It was like my first video ever was
even lower than it is. Nicole.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like Logan does stunts. Like the jackass guys really inspired me. So I would just fuck around and like hurt myself and shoot my brother with an airsoft gun and just dumb shit. Like really, like I honestly just dumb shit.
Right. And you wouldn't, no real traction though.
Nah, for 8 years.
And then, all right, so then what year would that be? So what was the breakthrough? It was on Vine it started?
Yeah, it was
Vine. Tell me what Vine is. Explain to everyone what Vine was.
So Vine was a mobile app where you could create 6-second videos, short little snackable pieces of content. And what I would try to do is weave some sort of storyline in it. And you might only see the middle section, but you know, there's a pre and a post. And you see the funny part.
Got
so
it.
Even though it's 6 seconds, I really sort of perfected that short form narrative and like attention span type of shit. Because bro, millennials and Gen Z, they don't have more than 5 to 10 seconds for you. They really don't. They don't
and I
don't
see
care.
That shit when I look at my face. I say the average watch time 8 seconds. Like,
8 seconds.
The I'm like fucking insulted.
A view on Instagram is 3 seconds. So if you have three, if you're there for longer than 3 seconds, it adds a view on a video.
Why do you think that is? By the way,
I don't know. Because I mean, to me, it should be longer, but I think the attention spans are so low. Like, 3 seconds is considered a worthy amount to sink into someone's mind. And by the way, that's 3 seconds where half the video is on the screen. So if it's like half of it is playing, it counts.
So here's my I have a theory on this a little bit though. I don't think that you, my son's a millennial, Bowen, you know Bowen, right? He's a millennial too.
Yeah.
I don't think you guys are any different than us. I just think that, I think that like, it's like that, I don't think your attention span's any shorter than mine. and vice versa. And I think you're
a special person.
Like I pride myself on ADHD, man. I think it's a badge of honor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think normally most people, I think what's happened is just, of course, you grew up with this shit. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that anyone, like when we thumb through the newspaper, the old days, I wouldn't read every article. I just thumb through it. Look. If something catch my eye, then I'll only focus on that. So I don't think it's almost like it's a digitized version.
I agree. But I ask myself this, like, why does my dad still have trouble using the iPhone? Same with my mother, who are like smart people,
right?
But why does the older generation have such a hard time using technology? And the conclusion, and correct me if I'm wrong, is a lot of parents have trouble learning how to learn. Mm. My generation is so used to adapting. Like when I was young, we were just coming into the first age of the cell phone.
Right.
So we've evolved, and now we know how to use this phenomenal piece of technology called the iPhone. I've seen videos of, you know what the Game Boy Color
is? Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so.
My kids, yeah.
Yeah, played that when I was young. And then I saw a video on Twitter recently of a kid, like 5 years old, she had a Game Boy Color, and she's swiping on it.
Right.
It's not a fucking touchscreen.
Right, doesn't get it.
But it's all she knows.
Right.
And so she's going to grow up, and this is going to be her most important piece of technology, and she's going to know it like the back of her hand. So maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like we have learned how to learn, and adapting is what my generation is very, very good at. And even the generation below me is going to be even sharper with it.
All right, guys, here's the deal. I am here to talk to you about a very important subject, your erections. This is very important to me, at least, right? If you like sex, like I do, and like I'm sure all of you do, right? Then you probably heard of Blue Chew, right? It's chewable, right? The same active ingredient as the old stuff, the old outdated Viagra and all that old stuff, right? Well, this is the new evolution that you can actually chew. Hits you in half the time. Powerful stuff. How powerful? Let me just tell you, right? I'm going to give you my wolf analogies here, right? You could, like, take Blue Chew and your erection, you could hit a home run in the World Series with this thing. That's how hard it is, okay? A bottom line. You could hurt someone with Blue Chew. Blue Chew is this thing that you use to teach someone a lesson. You show them who's boss with Blue Chew, right? That's why I like it. Seriously, no. Blue Chew works. It gives you that ability to go once, two, three rounds. Like, you're a superstar with Blue Chew. Seriously. And, you know, they originally invented this stuff. It was like a blood pressure. Many years, they thought it was for blood pressure, but this is back in the day, like, when I first invented this ingredient, right? This, the level of erection you get from this, I'm dead serious. It is like nothing you've ever seen before. This is not normal stuff. This is like studly stuff, and you got to try it. I promise you. And here's the deal. Ready? Blue Chew is going to let you try it for free because you're on my podcast, all right? So here's what you do. Blue Chew, B-L-U-E, BlueChew.com. Enter the promo code WOLF. You get it for free. How about that? Just pay $5 shipping and handling. You have to check it out. I'm telling you, I think last time I said you could use this, the DEA could use your erection to knock down a crack house store. It's even bigger than that. Let's use a home run in the World Series, bases loaded. Blue Chew comes to the rescue. Seriously, if you love sex, you got to check this stuff out. Give it a shot. Believe me, you won't be sorry. This actually, I would never sell something I don't believe in. So in this case, seriously, and what I'm talking about here is Indochino men's suits. I got them right in front of me here. It's really cool stuff. Listen, you know, guys, I've been buying custom suits since I'm 22 years old. And I will tell you, this is a fact. There is absolutely nothing like the feel of a perfectly fitting, you know, well-made custom men's suits. You know, they say a suit makes the man. A suit makes the man. I mean, you feel like a different person. And I've paid as much as, ready for this, $12,000 for a perfectly made custom suit, great fabric, right? And I'm not even saying it wasn't worth it, but if I had known that there was an alternative where I could get that same ultra-high quality, perfect fits when you step into it, you know it's made just for you. So when things like with your personal monogram on it, your own little fabric, the stitching, little notes you could put. You can have your own little personal note inside the pocket, like a motivational quote. Something makes it personal to you, right? Guess what? That's what Indochino suits are about. Indochino.com. And here's what they do. They did two things that are just amazing. Number one, you could actually either go into one of their stores. They have tons of locations everywhere. Indochino men's stores. You go in there. They measure, they pamper you. You feel really fucking good, by the way. I'm telling you, there's no feel like getting measured. You already feel like $1 million. You haven't made it yet, right? And that's the first step to making it, right? And then is to feel that way, right? Then they'll measure you up and comes in the mail, fits like a glove. You can always get it refit if it's not exactly right, but they're damn good, these tailors, right? Then the alternative to that is if you don't feel like going to a store, you could actually take your measurements at home. They show you how to do it and you submit them online and bam, you got your suit like that, right? So that's some really cool stuff. They do parties for weddings. I mean, you know, it's a real serious company here. And the suit, the quality of the suit, unbelievable. Really, you got to just check out, if nothing more, just at least check out the fabrics they have, right? I mean, when you feel these fabrics, you put your hand on these fabrics, I mean, it like reeks of wealth, all right? So what would you think like something that would cost, right? $2,000, $5,000, I pay $12,000, right? You ready for this? Now, this is not the normal price, but because you're on my podcast, right, and they want to put their best foot forward out there to get all these new people into their company because it's, you know, it's just an amazing situation here, right? You're going to die. Ready? Any premium Indochino suit for $369. I don't even know what to say about that. You know what we call that on Wall Street? We call that a no-brainer. Why? Because you don't need a brain to make a decision whether or not you should give it a shot. So you say to yourself, what's the worst that could happen? You give it a shot. You try one Indochino suit. You go, don't buy 10, buy one. You give it a shot. Okay? I promise you this. Once you put that suit on and you just feel that feeling of being in like a really high-end custom-made suit, and you will never go back. That's my promise to you, all right? Indochino.com. Let me read the exact notes to you so I make sure I don't miss anything, okay? So that's 50% off the regular price. That's a custom, you know, bespoke, made-to-measure premium men's suit. Shipping free, okay? Wow, these guys are really got together, right? Indochino.com. Promo code is, guess what? Wolf, W-O-L-F. All right, incredible deal, really is. And believe me, guys, you give this a shot and you will not be sorry. Sound good? All right, and now with that, let's get back to the podcast with my man, Logan Paul. I think on, it's definitely a point. I think on some level, while that's true, also, I think it's like almost like a fear factor involved. Like if someone looks at something, they get overwhelmed. People have a tendency to overwhelm, right? And I think the older you are, the more set you are in your ways. So it's like, it's not like you don't have the mental capacity.
Yeah.
But you're just like, fuck, oh my God, why the fuck did they invent this shit? Yes. I want to go back to the olden days.
Yo, right? I find myself occasionally doing that and I have to catch myself. Like when Musical.ly came out, I'm like speaking like young people's terms here.
No, tell me what's Musical.ly.
Musical.ly, it was like.
Thank you for letting me, because I know what the fuck it is.
No, but like also, me either. Like, I don't fucking know. You record yourself like lip singing to a song and you can speed it up. And this app blew the fuck up. I didn't understand it. And so I was like, man, fuck that. I don't need Musical.ly in my life. It's huge. People have 30 million followers on there. Except I was shut off to the idea of it. And I had to catch myself and be like, am I old now? Like, am I fucking old? I'm 24 years old. And like, my joints creak when I get out of bed. What am I doing wrong, man?
Yeah, I fucking feel, man. The first 5 minutes out of bed, I'm like fucking, I'm dying. I'm like, what the? Someone just beat me up while I was sleeping. I'm telling you, no, but it's what you're saying is true though, in the sense that like when I was in Stratton back in my wild days, right? And I was maybe 28 years old, right? My junior partner, the blockhead, right? Not that smart, so I was a blockhead, right?
Yep.
He got a computer and he put it on his desk and had a screensaver with the shit. And we made fun of him merciless. What the fuck do you need a computer on your desk for? What's wrong with you?
Really?
Yes, there was no computers.
No, that's,
I'm like, what's
crazy
wrong with you? And then he's like, oh, whatever. I mean, what the fuck are you using this thing for? Right? Anyway.
Oh my God.
2 years later, I had one. I never really embraced it. Then, even in 1995, when cell phones became popular, I was like, I would never carry. Why the fuck? If someone wants to,
are you serious?
Swear to God. It was only after, later on, when, you know, the iPhone really changed things.
Yeah.
Because before that, it was just a communication device, right? Let me go back. I have to ask you a really important question, right? Yeah. Usually you ask the end, but I want to ask you the beginning.
No, hit me right away.
Do you think that any person, let's say a young person, because you know, there's some element that could, like, imagine if you had to go out into the world today and no one knew who the fuck you were. Could you duplicate this from a dead standstill?
Absolutely.
I knew these. And
absolutely. I think about this all the time. Everyone asks me, they go, what would you do if you weren't making videos? I'd be like, there was no world where I wasn't doing just this.
Right.
And I would have always ended up here. I think there's like something to be said about one, just like that vision you have in your mind of what you want to become,
right?
And then the people who can actually execute on that.
Okay, so you said you could definitely do it again,
so
right?
Smooth. So smooth with it.
Strategic. Huh?
Yeah, I could do it. I could do it, bro. I could do it.
Okay, so what would be the first thing you do?
Me?
Yeah, how would you start from scratch?
Here's what I did, man. Outreach. Cold emails. I think most people on my team started with cold emails.
Meaning?
The cold email is so undervalued. If you want something, email the greats. How can you provide value to them? How can they help you? Do they have insight, advice? When I remember Jake and I came up with an app idea when we were first coming up on Vine.
Right.
We emailed Mark Cuban.
He's like, hey. Well, by the way, he's awesome, by awesome, the way. Awesome. Very accessible. You think he wouldn't, he returned your email, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. Yeah.
He goes, this is a good idea, not a great idea. Good luck. But like, by the way, he was fucking
He just fucking answered you.
And he answered me, and it worked. And, you know, back in the day on Vine, I would send cold emails. I would tag the best Vine accounts and try to get my work seen by the most amount of people possible. And it fucking, it worked. Value the cold email, kids.
So would you like, Mish, like, so we have a good friend, right? Mark Roberts, right?
Yes.
I went to college with Mark Roberts.
Yeah, that's wild.
Right? We were good friends, right? And his son, Justin Roberts, right? Yes. He works with your brother or something like
that? Yeah, so
he used to, at least. I don't know if he still does.
I think he does. I think he's in my brother's Team 10.
Right.
His social media label.
You look at, right, Justin got started, right? So, like, he was able to, you know, find someone already famous. Would you do this? Would you try to find someone, like an influencer, to take you under their wing, or could you just go fucking cold?
I sort of did. There was this guy named Jerome Jarr, who was a French guy, a Viner, and he was much bigger than me. And he called me, and he's like, hey, kid, I think you have real talent. Can you fly to New York for 3 days and make videos with me? I said, absolutely, because he was one of the biggest on the platform. And he took me under his wing. He showed me how to make content, sort of. I knew what I was doing, but he gave me a little edge that I didn't see before because I was, 17, 18 years old.
Right. What did he give you? What was the edge?
So I would come up with a content idea, and he'd straight up be like, it needs a little more. So there's that basic level of content that most people think on,
right?
And now, you know, after years and years of doing it, everything I do is like eons above that level. But it took time to build it up there, because you got to know what people want to see.
Sure.
Right? I got to be my own demographic. And it started with Jerome.
So when I was, you know, Tommy Chong, right? So when I go to jail, right? Who's my bunkmate? Tommy Chong.
That's crazy.
Right?
That's crazy.
And Cheech and Chong up in Smoking Room, right? So funny guy, right? So him and Cheech are coming here Wednesday on the podcast, right?
That's fucking awesome.
I wish you were here. We should do a fucking joint.
That'd be crazy.
The great guys. Hey, so here's what Tommy said to me. We were bunkmates, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, you got to write a fucking book. Because I was telling him stories that he'd be dying, rolling on the floor, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know how to write. Just write the way you speak, right? I tried that. It didn't work. But here's the one tip that Tommy gave me that changed everything. When you write, he goes, you have to write about the most of. Exactly what you just said. In other words, if it's going to be a situation, it's the most of a situation. If you're bad, you're the worst. If you're excited, you're the most excited.
So did you embellish?
No. Just pick the moments of your life.
Where you were indeed
I'm embarrassed. I didn't have to, by the way.
Okay.
I wish I had, by the way. But, you know, I'm not proud of some of the stuff, although it was fun. I don't recommend it to fucking average people.
Yes,
even to Bob, it was crazy. But the point is that I was writing, and it was like almost like you said about Vine. It was 6 seconds, but you took the note, that middle, that kernel that was the absolute
kernel, the
best.
Core of the
that was the thing, right? Yeah. That's what people want to hear about, and you mastered that art on Vine,
absolutely,
right? So I think on some on YouTube as well. Like when you do something, you're not saying, you know what, people are out there living ordinary lives. Mm-hmm. That's not good or bad. Everyone is, including every day we go through life, right?
Yeah.
We want to be taken to a different level, change our state, laugh harder, love harder, feel more, whatever is good and bad, both, right? Yep. And that's what that's about, right?
The most of. How did he know that? Where did he?
Oh, because he's been famous writing books and doing movies. Okay. So he's a professional writer and actor, right? A brilliant guy. Hey, you were like fucking, by the way, you weren't even in the twinkle in your mom's eye when he was famous, this guy. Really. And the thing about Tommy, it's amazing. He couldn't have been nicer to every single person there in the jail. I was fortunate that he was my bunkmate.
Why was he in jail?
Stupidest thing. He was there for selling not even pot, bongs on the internet.
No.
I shit you not. Bongs on
you. Yo, that's crazy how people are still in jail for that shit.
Yeah, well, not even. So I said to him, I was just bad for me because I'm like, fuck, if this guy's doing a year and a day for selling bongs, I got to do 10,000 years for it to be fucking eaten.
Oh my God.
It was pretty, it was pretty.
Wow, that's whack as fuck.
But he was a great guy and he gave me that tip. So is that really? So tell me about, like, give me the best first, let's start. What's the one? What was your breakout? Was there one video that broke things open?
Nah, man. It was like a series of viral videos. I mean, I had some big ones. Like I did the splits around New York, and then eventually did like the splits around the world. And that.
But splits, define splits for the one.
Like I literally dropped down into the splits. Like I did the splits, flexible wise.
This fuck, you did that?
Do you see what I'm saying? Like
you don't look like you could fucking.
I know.
Can you do it right?
I could. I'm flexible as fuck, bro. Like I would stand in front of people. They'd be walking. I'd just drop into the splits, and that one went pretty viral. And then I had a couple of just more stupid ones of me just like fucking around and getting hurt, like jumping over things. To be honest, dude, they're so like insignificant now. I don't even know. I don't even remember that time of my life, to be honest.
Did it baffle you? Were you like saying, why? Did you understand your own success or did you say, I got it? Or was it like, you know, you're saying, dude, why aren't people even watching? Or you're saying, I know what people want. I'm going to give them what they want and more of it.
Yeah, it was a ladder. I understand my success, but like till this day, it does indeed baffle me. Like, cause at my core, I am just a kid from Ohio who happens to like this thing that a lot of people like.
Right.
I like making videos and people like watching videos. Like I was born into the perfect scenario for me as a human. But yeah, every day I'm stunned with
you. Know, I met your mom.
Oh, my sweet mother.
I met your mother. She's got you and your brother to deal with, right?
Dude, I feel so bad for her. Mom, I love you. We're just like...
Because now
it's like...
She's fucking proud of you.
She is. She's the only sweet one left in the family. Like, just a pure soul. And so I try so hard to, like, corrupt her. She just never breaks.
Like my
she
mom.
Never breaks. Like, because now I'm testing her, right? Like, when I was younger, I'd test my jokes on her. And if my mom had a reaction, good or bad,
right,
which by the way probably shaped my content, like a shock value, I was like, great, she's reacting in some way, shape or form.
Has she become like probably like immune to it at a certain point, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, she,
like my dad.
Oh, she's way immune.
Like you remember the movie, my dad, right? He was so fucking crazy that I'll tell you, he was so conservative, right, that I just made, I think, about 10 million in 2 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm thinking 1992, right? I just had a huge, big, you know, win on Wall Street, right? And I said, I don't want to expand. I want to buy 20 more desks, right? Like $100 a desk. Mm-hmm. So I went out and placed an order for desks. He worked for me as my bookie, as my CFO, right?
Yeah.
I didn't ask him first. Fucking goes berserk, fucking wild. You fucking, how could you spend $2,000? You guys are gonna go.
You just made $10 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's the deal?
Just he's fucking because he's
control
a depression era mentality, resistant to change in any shape or form. But here's the thing: it's even worse. The first time I spent money on dinner, I took him out to a dinner for $1,000. How about this? Flash forward 2 years later, right? He walks into my assistant, Mona, back. He goes, is it possible to spend $26,000 on dinner? Like, we wore him down so bad that, like, it was almost like, is it even possible? Like,
oh, my God.
He became immune. You get it?
Oh, no, he became immune because y'all were always doing some shit.
You got it. He did.
So, but why did you keep him there if he was, like, always?
Oh, let me tell you something. My father is, he wasn't involved in the Wall Street side, right? But I'm not good. I think I'm like you in this. I'm not really good at watching money. I'm very good at making money.
Yeah, so bad, right? At that.
So you have to surround yourself with people who are great at the things that you're not so great at,
very
right?
True, very
so
true.
So having, so especially when it comes to money, right? You know, that's the place where people steal from you, they fuck you, right?
Yeah.
But my dad was so mean, so he was really feared.
Meticulous type.
And he was feared. So guys, like I had 2,000 brokers, they come into my office. Hey, can I get an advance? I'm like, oh yeah, sure, go ask my dad.
Never do it. that's dope.
Get it? Yeah. So back to you now, okay? So listen.
Here we are.
Tell me the best, in your opinion, the best video, the best thing you've done that like defines who you are.
These are tricky.
Give me one.
These superlatives on the spot. There's one that I love particularly because I'm sure you've heard nothing's original. Have you heard people say this?
Yeah,
believe it?
Well, listen, I think it was 1892 or something, the U.S. Patent Office sent that letter. We're going to close down because everything that's been invented has already been invented.
In what year?
1892.
In 1892.
Well, like around there, that. Yes. They thought everything had been invented.
So over,
it's been going on for a while, this
over
shit.
Over a century
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, there's nothing is new. Nothing everything is original. New. Nothing's yeah. new and everything is new, right?
Exactly. So, yeah. So you know, this being a creative, this is something I heard, and anytime I can buck that trend in my mind anyways... It's a big fucking fat win for me.
Right.
So I did a video where I I took a first class flight to Dubai in United Emirates.
Showers?
Yeah, with the showers. You see how big the bathrooms are? Literally
those many times.
Yeah. So
I even took two showers. Oh, come on.
Yeah, man, it's phenomenal. And so I had this idea, knowing that the bathroom was this big, to turn the bathroom into a Maverick, my apparel, a Maverick merchandise store. So I brung on two carry-ons,
right.
You know, this big. And then about 3 hours before we landed, I went and I literally decked out the entire bathroom into a store. Like, I brought hangers, I brought stickers, I brought clips, wall clips, and it was covered in Maverick merchandise. Like probably like $2,000-$3,000 worth of clothes.
Right.
And then I would go and I'd find like a kid who was like a fan on the plane. I'd be like, hey, you want to go home and pick some merch? So the kid would come
and the students there are so nice. They're like, oh, what can I help you?
Oh, no, they didn't know.
They didn't know.
No, they had no idea. No, they'd be pissed.
They're really nice, by the way.
They're so nice. But, you know, the one came in and she's like,
you know, I'm still sorry. Here. No store allowed.
What? No, I mean, like, what do you say to a kid? Like, I'm sorry, sir, you can't open a store on my plane. Like, I thought I was going to get blacklisted, but luckily I did not, and I apologize. And she kicked me out, and I had to take it down. But like, I had never seen, I'd never seen that done.
That's a great idea, by the way.
No,
did you sell any shit though? I know that's awesome. But how much did you sell?
I'm not playing.
Because the ticket would be $16,000, right? I mean, round trip,
$20. I charged one person. I think it was like my videographer at the time. But yeah, man, like I hadn't seen that video done before, and I think the storyline and the editing and everything was perfect. But I've done so much shit. Like, you can find literally hundreds of like those.
Let's go back for a second. The beginning. What was your childhood like? And that's a stupid question, but I want to know. Just quickly, were you rich, poor, in the middle?
I was middle class.
Right, like me.
Yeah, I was definitely.
Loved, felt loved?
Yeah.
Single mom, both parents?
My parents got divorced when I was seven. Pretty brutal, not the best, but like I wasn't too like affected by it.
Right.
They kept it cordial enough for me to not let it ruin my childhood.
Or as your psychiatrist say, you don't think you were affected.
Oh, absolutely. I've heard this before. And by the way, like, you're probably right. Probably ruined my life.
Who fucking knows,
fuck
right?
You guys.
We're all crazy, so, yeah. So has your parents split, right? Did your mom, did she struggle? Like, was part of your trip? Like, a lot of people, like, you know, athletes, they say they want to retire their mom as their greatest, you know, thing.
Yeah, my mom married a very wealthy doctor. So
there you go.
She got off the hook. You got off the hook.
Beautiful
Ma.
Lady. So yeah. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. She really did it. And then my dad, just kind of like a jack of all trades, and he loved me and Jake to death, and also worked us to death. Not quite literally, but also.
What does he do, your dad?
He literally anything. You need your gutters cleaned, he'll do it. You need your roof repaired, you'll do it. Yeah. His big thing at the time was he was a real estate agent. So he was a realtor for a very long time.
And you grew up where? Midwest, right? What did you say?
Midwest, Ohio.
Got it. Where in Ohio?
Cleveland.
Okay.
He was
Shaker Heights area.
We were Westlake, so close. We were like, that was like our neighbor. But okay. My dad was mega affected by the 2008 real estate crash. Ruined his life.
Oh shit.
Ruined his life. And then when
he tried holding pyramiding, or was it because he was holding real estate, or was it just
tons. Oh, I got it. And just like,
yep,
huge hit for him. And mind you, single dad, takes care of two kids, and most dads, I understand. If they get divorced, the single dads will see their kids every other weekend.
Yeah.
My dad fought for equal custody.
Yeah.
He's like, no, they're my kids, and I love them, and I want to see them every week.
And that is probably why it didn't affect you. See, I got divorced my second wife when I was, the kids were like 8 and 10, right? It's a little earlier, but we had full, it was just like, I saw them every time I could. We co-raised them. And my kids are okay, because they always knew they were loved by, it wasn't like the dad just blew out.
Yeah, there was none of that. There was tremendous amounts of love on both sides, and my mom and my dad are so different, hence the divorce. So we go to my mom's house acting like my dad, and we come back to my dad's house acting like my mom. And so there was this constant shift of like trying to figure out who we were as kids, and then, to this day, I still don't really know.
And what is your, so do you still, you're still close with both of them?
Very.
I met your mom.
Very close.
Yeah.
Very close with both of them, yeah.
So you grow up basically normal, you know, fun, right?
We
always close. Your brother is, you know, does what you do, right?
Yeah, same shit, sort of. Same but different.
How'd that come about?
Yin yang. Man, he was in the videos with me when we were young.
Right from the start, together.
And he's like, he's a bit of a, more of like a troublemaker per se, like, but he's also very business minded. Like, he plays the game of internet way better than I do.
Maybe let me say, so he's more of a troublemaker than you? Some people. Some people are like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Look, here's an example. Here's my thing.
Give me an example.
I'll make mistakes. We all know the mistakes I've made. Like it's
I don't think your mistakes are so terrible, just well, to know.
We can get into it.
Because I have a high threshold for mistakes.
Yes.
Given my life, right?
Yes, very true. Very true. But like I'll make a mistake and they tend to be me just being fucking dumb. Like not even thinking about it. It just like goes over my head for whatever reason.
It wasn't a bad intent. You weren't looking to hurt someone, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like
you're like, what? Jake, people are offended?
I don't mean to throw you under the bus, Jake, but like.
But I have to. Like,
but no, I'll just use stuff that like people know about.
No, I want
to
hear it. He won't
like,
be upset. I'm sure.
He might.
It's okay though.
Nah, like,
he's got to be thick skinned at this point. He knows you love him. So let's
like,
hear it.
Like here's an example. Like one time he like lit a couch on fire and threw it in his empty pool in his backyard and like almost like
in LA.
Yeah, lit the whole neighborhood on fire.
I heard about
that. And then a news van came by one day and he like was riding his dirt bike down the street doing wheelies and then climbed on top of the news van. Like Jake's like a rock star. Jake got tattoos all over his body, ears pierced, you know, he's got the fashion sense. None of these things I have. I have one tattoo, but you can't even see it. I'm like the Midwest like corn fed creative boy. Jake's like a fucking rock star.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you know, the reason I heard about that is I was with Mark Roberts when I think they were throwing him out of the house there. They had a house of some big thing going on in LA for a while, and they were trying to evict him for saying there was just wildness.
They
in
won.
House.
Yeah, they were right. He no longer lives.
And I was like, I heard what they were doing. I'm like, fuck. I did shit. The thing was, with us, which I think
would you put people in danger?
If you consider giving them, you know, crack and Quaaludes and
no. I'm talking about people not involved in the event, in the thing.
Well.
Oftentimes, Jake's escapades would put other people in danger.
That's not a good thing, for sure.
I'm speaking in the future. This was 2-3 years ago.
In the past.
Yeah, we both
he's evolved and grown, right?
Yeah.
How old is he now?
He's 22.
I met him when he was like 19, I think.
Yeah, so he was not, you met him right into like the midst wild of night. Like, I have money, clout, and
yeah, everything. So it wasn't so much that we were putting people in danger. What we were doing was, like, I had a party. Right. It was I was about 26 when it really started. 20, you know, it really got big. Right. Yeah. So I had the police on the payroll. They were part of it.
Ah, that's right.
You get it? So I throw a party in the Hamptons and the police were guarding the place. They'd be like, Mr. Belfort, there's 4 people doing crack in your. I said, that's fine. Don't worry about it, Jimmy. Like they were totally in on the whole thing.
That's sharp.
No one was dealing drugs, just people consuming drugs.
Will cops still do that?
I think the world's changed a bit, right? But remember, there was no drug dealing going on.
Yeah.
It was drug consuming going on in vast
quantities. What's the difference?
What? Well, you know, it's a difference. I think it's a difference.
Hey, the first question I asked you on my podcast, I go, so you've done a lot of drugs, huh? And your answer is my favorite.
What did I say?
You go, you're like, well, you know, massive quantities, really. And I'm like, what the
Listen,
who says that?
Come on. Remember, what do we say about the most of?
You got to go hard.
What's doing well, you do it right. You got to do it. You fucking go for it, right? Buddy, I've abused Visine.
Don't do drugs. You've abused Visine?
I'll fucking 20 drops in. You give me something that says take 3, I'll take
4. Visine's not over the counter, is it?
Yeah, the fucking eye drops. No fucking, everything I see, I have to take extra of. It's just my personality.
Can you still see colors?
I do. I see fucking perfectly. I have like one of those personalities. Do you ever do drugs?
I've done drugs.
Yep. Listen, let me tell you my theory on drugs. I might have said this on the show.
I don't do drugs, but like, you know. Define drugs.
Cocaine, ecstasy.
Nope.
Okay, smoke pot.
I've smoked some
Do you like that?
No, I don't smoke anymore.
I fucking hate it.
I passed out in Colorado. I for the first time in my life, went instantaneously unconscious, headbutted the floor. I'm never smoking weed again.
Ever. The shit that is out there right now is not normal. It's not like this. Fuck?
Why is it so potent?
It's like science. The guy's a guy from fucking NASA growing fucking pot.
I was in Denver.
It's terrible.
Like home of weed and the altitude.
No, coming back. It's really, this shit makes me paranoid. I worry about everything. I just hate it. So what about, so alcohol?
Yeah, I drink. I don't drink currently, but like, I like to sip on out, to drink heavily every now and then.
How much of the whole, listen, when you were like doing your crazy shit, was any of it fueled by drugs?
No, none of it was.
Wow.
I'll tell you what though.
Wow.
I'll tell you what. Occasionally, because we would shoot during the day. So any steam we had to blow off was done at night. We'd go to the clubs. Occasionally, from like the first 50% of maybe one every 20 vlogs was done extremely hungover and reckless. And like literally no recollection of doing it because I was in such a state of like automation.
Right.
And I was, you know how you are when you're hungover. You're just like,
I lived that way for like
exactly, 10 years. Exactly. So some of them were like that, but yeah, no drugs, man. No.
How about this? How about women? Another drug. How's your love life? Listen, you're a good
say, bro. It's shit, bro.
You need some blue chew, by the way. Take it on the way.
Give me some fucking Viagra gum, please.
So, seriously, I want to ask you about women. First of all, who's better with women? You or your brother?
When you say better,
I mean, who's got the fucking rap? You said he's a rock star,
bro. Like
who going to a club? You and your brother, one hot chick, totally fucking smoking. You both. Who's walking out with her?
Who'd you say?
Uh-oh, they're pointing to you.
I'll tell you why I think it's me.
I want to have him on separately. He'll say, it's me.
No, he might tell you. Because I'm a little more strategic. Like, I'm a little smarter
explain. Give some tips.
When I hit on a girl, I'm not really hitting on her. I'm more of just, like, having a conversation with, like, it's like a conversation where it's, like, clear that I'm into you rather than, like, I'm jabbing at you. You know what I'm saying?
You use like pickup lines and shit? No. Yeah, you do?
No. Right, no.
Yeah, okay, good.
No. I'll say maybe in like a cheesy way if I'm like the perfect amount of tipsy and then like I'll dive into like an actual conversation.
Right.
Because like I'm sure you know this. The perception of me is that I'm a fucking moron, which by the way is true, but also I got more sides to me that surprises people. Well, so when I start talking.
You know what? One of my questions here, obviously, is I don't believe that for a fucking second that you're a moron.
No, look at you.
No, I don't. No, I don't. All right. Because I don't believe that stupid people are successful for long. Yeah. Mm. Stupid people get successful. One hit here and there. You've been going at strong. How many years now?
Been six.
Ain't a fucking accident, pal. And you're not stupid. So, and by the way, it's okay. It's a persona, right? But you're not stupid. Everyone knows that. If people really know, you know that. But
this is fucking awesome, bro. I need one of these arms on my podcast.
You could do like, you
up,
know,
down, left,
it's
right.
It's like fucking, you know?
Damn.
No, only, don't be self-deprecating. Tell me, okay, what's your greatest strength is in terms of business and an intellect? What are you really, besides, listen, you're a great communicator, but tell me, what's your biggest, are you good at math? Are you good, you have great ideas, vision? What's your thing?
I'm good at a lot of things.
Tell me.
That might be my thing. I'm good at a lot of things,
which is important.
Like,
right?
I'm pretty versatile. Like, like you said, if I do something and I like it, I'll go balls deep. I'm good at a lot of things. So in high school, math was my shit. Math and athletics.
Okay,
I was the calc god. They called me. Like, I was so good at calculus.
Calc. I think
I was
the calc.
So
the calc.
Good at calculus.
There you go. So I was right. Of all the equations. There you go. So you
proofs and everything. So
the truth comes. It's by that. You know, I'm a nerd at heart. Part of me's a nerd.
I can see that.
Yeah.
When you left the podcast, even like when the review team watched it, all of us were like, I'm like, yo, this is probably one of the smartest dudes I've ever met. Like, you are smart as fuck, bro.
I remember shit, like a weird shit, because I read a lot, and I enjoy like what I read, so I remember it.
Oh, you do read?
I do read. I do, yeah. Must I do. Be not as much
how
as
you retain
anymore.
That information. Like, it tends to go in and out my brain.
Yeah, but that's, you know, and by the way, my wife, she's interesting. She's brilliant, but she's not, like, it's not so much her memory. It's her ability to take abstract concepts, and she can make great ideas from abstract
concepts.
You
have an example?
Yeah. Like, for instance, like, you know, her views on certain things politically and socially.
Yeah.
She has some very stuff that I was like, wow, you know what? I thought that she was crazy when she first said it. And then it turned out to be very true. Stuff like that, where she was like very sort of good socially. And she's she's called a kinesthetic. She's a feeler. I'm more of like a visual, auditory, very, you know, calculated.
See, I'm both.
Yeah.
I'm both. A kinesthetic, you called it?
Kinesthetic, a feeler. Like,
I like,
you know,
that.
She's like a deep, like everything she speaks, she interprets the world around her in feelings. Like she'll look and say, oh, I feel this way. I'm like, I see it this way. Then that's the difference between the two. You get it? We both could, we see the same thing. We feel the same way, but she explains it in feelings. I explain it from a visual. That's the difference.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I have a solid mix of both. I was going to say probably one of my strongest assets is feeling and reading energy. No, I got this. I know how productions work. Kind of a little dangly string.
And you're very versatile.
That's what I'm saying. We're like, and by the way, I'm hyper aware of every piece of production that's happening right now. Like, I'm just like, my mind is ticking at 1,000 degrees, bro. Hyper-conscious is what
I'm saying. So you're a smart dude. You're strategic, right? You're all around. I get it. So you're saying is you have a general sense of things going on, right?
That's right.
You're versatile, right? So that's right. Tell me, what do you think is the and let's be honest here, right? What is the biggest mistake that you've made in your career up until this point?
I think it's pretty obvious.
Tell me.
Let me see if I can put
I know the obvious. Well, yeah, the obvious.
Would be Japan, obviously.
Okay, well, but let me
see if I can put this on a macro level. Because that was a massive mistake, but it happened for a reason, right? I did that because something else went wrong, and I want to try to identify that mistake.
Let's talk about it.
I think it was...
Can we stop it? Tell everyone what happened in Japan first. Give everyone
No, I won't do it. You know why?
Bad gun.
No, because I did this, but I've done this before. I did an interview with Larry King.
Yeah.
And he had me say it, and I was like... It was a learning lesson for me. I literally like described it, and I'm so far beyond it now.
Something happened where you walk into an area where people tend to commit suicide, and you filmed yourself, and you saw someone who committed suicide, and that was the gist of it, right?
That was, yeah. That's,
okay, so now
I mean, most people know about it, right? So,
right, they do.
But yeah, that was...
Just so you know, I didn't think it was so terrible.
No, I know. You told me that, and I appreciate your viewpoint.
Because I knew for sure that there was no... See, I believe it's about intent. Mm. I knew you, and just by even just knowing a little bit, I knew there was, well, you didn't go in it to hurt people. People make mistakes all the time. I'm not saying it wasn't a mistake, but the intent behind it, I was like, I'm going to fuck some hurt. You weren't going in like that at all, right?
No.
Of course not, right?
So I think the biggest mistake I made was somehow getting lost into content creation. Like literally sacrificing my life, my health, my well-being, my mental, all for content creation. Everything I did, the only thing that mattered was getting that next video out. Daily vlogging, and by the way, each one had to be better than the last. And how can this be more and more intense? How can the shock value increase? Everything was just adding up, and I wanted to just... be the biggest, and I didn't care what I had to do to get there, and that is the most fucking dangerous mindset I think anyone can take.
Moderation, anything, by the way,
anything. Moderation is
key. Stratton, we had this thing, you know, we did these crazy acts of depravity, right? And you know, how do you get, you know, how do you start
some
of the shit? But you know, it's like you need, as you're almost like an action junkie, in that kind of realm. It's like you need higher and higher cliffs to dive off.
The worst.
And shallower and shallower pools to land, and eventually you're gonna miss and fucking kill yourself, right?
Yes. Horrible.
So let me just put another. So what basically happened was you got so caught up in just sort of like there was no sort of outside thought of ethics or anything else. It wasn't even trying to hurt anyone. It was just more like you were just like,
no. And you can even see in content leading up to it, like something was going wrong. It was just pure debauchery, disrespect. And there was no
disrespect in what sense?
Like I would like sometimes disrespect people, in a arm's length kind of way.
Give me an example.
It was almost like this. Okay. So, and I've always been like this with my content, but it had gotten worse.
There's
and worse.
A line always, right?
Yeah. So I'd go to a grocery store and I'd put on a tracksuit and run on the conveyor belt like it's a treadmill. It's pretty fucking disrespectful. Really funny video, right? Like to me, that's funny. If I saw someone, I'd laugh. Or example, on an airplane, I'd take the toilet.
Stop. 1 to 10 on the bad. Okay, on the 10, 1 being perfectly lily white, 10 being the worst thing you do. Where do you put that right now?
What?
Running on the treadmill. And what do you put that in? 5, like 5 being it's not so.
Am I answering this from a perspective of living in 2016, or am I answering this from right now, 2019?
Right now, 2019.
That's like a 5.
A 5.
I will get comments if I did that right now. I will get comments that say like, this is not funny.
But not the worst thing in the world.
In 2015, no one gave up.
Right, but not the worst thing in the world. I don't think it is.
Nah, it doesn't harm anyone.
I mean, I have a high threshold, but still you're not hurting anyone, right? Okay.
I can't, I mean, I'm like, me too, as long as I'm not hurting anyone. Right. In my old mind, I was like, this is probably fine. You're going to live. You might not like it. You're going to live.
Right. Give me another example. So it was no one.
I took the toilet paper. This was one of my original vines like 4 or 5 years ago. I took the toilet paper on an airline and like put it in the toilet and then flushed it. And airline toilets have long flushes. So the roll of toilet paper just for like 5 seconds, right? And I'm just like standing there like, and again, funny.
I'm walking through a pretty fucking think of doing that, by the way.
It's hilarious, but also, like, you probably shouldn't be doing that shit. So,
but wait, is there, there's no danger to the airlines? Got, the plane's not going to fall out of the fucking sky.
The plane's not going to fly out of the sky.
Is anything, it's like, you know what is the pressure situation? So it goes, right? It's like, it just sucks it like a motherfucker, right?
Yeah.
Right, because you're out to the pressure, so like, it just gets sucked out.
But yeah, so, I mean, okay, back to the original conversation. So there was just like a chain of like disrespect that was like mostly done for content because it was funny,
but your threshold,
25% of it wasn't funny. 25% of it was probably just considered like some sort of cringeful disrespect.
And your threshold keeps moving a little bit with each time, right? And you become almost, it's like you become anesthetized to your own side. Yeah. I know firsthand, right? So, okay, so, and it was there before that thing happened in Japan, right? Was there something else that led up to it? Like one, was there a pre, is somebody saying, it was like a trigger of a four?
It was my personal life, dude.
Tell me.
I had two people that I value their opinions more than anyone. Tell me. They said, hey, you've changed in the last month or two. If you keep this attitude up, something bad is going to happen. Mind you, I had never made a mistake. I was YouTube's golden boy. And so here I am gaining 100,000 subscribers a day, making multi-million dollars every month, and I feel invincible. I'm 22 years old. Nothing can stop me. Quite literally, nothing can stop me.
Like,
I'm also like a big fucking dude. So like, if I see someone in the streets who thinks they can stop me, like, no, you can't. Like, I literally feel invincible. And they warned me. I did not heed the warnings and thought I was on the right track. And I think somewhere around there was when I was at the fork in the road and I went the wrong way. Instead of taking a step back, because I was so on the like, nothing matters except this next video that I'm gonna put out tomorrow. And by the way, I'm hearing you, but I'm not listening.
Right. So what? So all right. So you go. You don't tell me your version of it. So you go into this. You know, it's like a bridge, or no? It's just a park or something, right?
I think
it's a
park. I don't even want to get into it. No. Because like I'm telling you, Jordan, I've done this before, and I just find myself sitting here just like cringing.
Let's forget it. Let's skip over it. All right, and then.
Well, it does play an important part of my life, so I don't like getting into specifics.
I don't give a fuck about the incident. I want to know what happened. I want to know how it changed you.
Oh.
Okay. All right, and how you processed it, and also I know when you went in Larry King, like you that's kind of you didn't. Yeah, you felt like you had a bad experience because you weren't able to verbalize how you really felt.
Well, also, like, to be quite honest, Larry didn't understand what the issue was.
In what sense?
He didn't.
You know, I low Larry.
Yeah.
He's a very nice guy.
Nice guy. He just,
my wife almost killed him, by the way.
Did.
She was sick. It's a true story. So I got back from Africa. I was doing charity work there, right? And I came back with a terrible, like some rare fucking bugus. Who knows what the fuck was. It was like almost the Ebola bug, but not quite. I was vomiting. I was sick as shit. No bleeding, but just really deathly ill, right? And my wife catches everything. It's like I was already better, but you know, I met her. We hugged and kissed, right? Within 12 hours, she was deathly ill.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was like, she couldn't move. The doctor was there, right?
You hate to
now,
see that.
Now, Larry and I were together, both speaking at the same event for a friend of ours, the guy named Stan Barty, who is a big broker, and he had this event called the Forbes Conference every year, right? Yeah. Larry and I were both the headline speakers. It was in Palm Beach. And after the event was over, Stan had a private jet, a G3 or G4, picking us up together, drive us, take us out to LA together, right? So I was like, I don't know if my wife should get in the fucking plane with Larry King because she's like, that recirculated air. Larry's like in his 80s.
Oh, no.
But dude, they said, no, it's fine. It's fine. But like, oh, she got on there like fucking, we were waiting for like a week for the incubation period, but he fucking made it, you know?
Oh, my God. Anyway, okay, so not quite literally like an attack. There was like some sort of virus that almost killed Larry King.
Everybody I came in touch with got sick, and I you know, it didn't kill you, but you vomiting.
Took a risk with that one.
Dude, I'm telling you. So anyway, so tell me what was the problem with the whole thing?
With Larry? He had me walk him through what happened, like in specific detail, because he just like I would give him some sort of like generic answer that kind of answered his questions about what happened. And he would be like, well, I don't understand. And then I go a little deeper. And before you know it, Larry King, being the expert interviewer he is, he had walked me into like literally retelling the whole story. And I'm sitting here like, wait a second, this is like a year and a half ago. Why are we even talking about this right now? And before you know, we had been talking about it for 30 minutes. And I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah. So,
it wasn't ideal. You know what I'm saying? And I learned from that.
I want to talk about what did you learn from that though?
Yeah.
Did it wait? See, here's the thing, God, just before I answer, let me just tell you, I made a lot of fucking mistakes. All right. And I had my graveyard moments for myself where I did shit that was awful and stupid and terrible, self-destructive. And unlike you, I hurt other people and I admit it. And I'm sorry for that. Mm. All right. What can you do? It happened. I do great now. I do every day to live my life that way. But I made my mistakes. You didn't really hurt anyone. But here's the, so that's why, you know, I never, you know, you should hold your head high because I don't think it was so terrible. You're a young guy. Mm. You're riding a fucking fantastic wave. How could you not make some mistakes along the way? You can't, it's impossible for you not to.
I thought it was possible.
We can't. But what makes you an asshole is if you didn't learn from it, and you did learn from it.
Facts.
So the point is, all right, is what, but with me, the first few mistakes that were gigantic mistakes, mm. I was like, fuck it. No. I'm like,
oh, you still went for it.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
After my yacht sank, okay? After I crashed, my jet crashed, my yacht sank. I was fucking on, it's all because of Quaaludes and coke and insanity, right? You figure after the Rucks. So the yacht sank and the jet crashed 7 days later, right? You think I'd say I should slow down.
Oh my God.
I'm like, no fucking way. I'm going hard. I went fucking harder. It took another year. It took me almost killing myself till I finally.
How much was the yacht?
Oh, it wasn't like $10 million back then because it was an older yacht, right? You're a pussy, bro. But I know. I'm fucking. But here's the thing, Lloyd's of London, the best part. I hated the fucking boat. Don't ever, no matter how much money you make, please. I'm going to give you some great fatherly.
Don't tell me not to buy a yacht.
Don't buy
it. No! Just fucking
jet. Buy a jet, charter a yacht. All right? Buy a jet, charter a yacht.
The opposite.
No fucking way.
No.
It's like floating hard. No. Unless you get over $5 billion. Anyway, but let me tell you something, right? Here's the real lesson, though, is that after it sank and the plane crashed, I rationalized in my mind that it wasn't me. It was just everything but me. And I pushed back on all advice. So I actually credit you that, you know, as being young, seriously, that's why I don't judge you. What did did you make a shift straight after that? Was it like, oh, fuck?
No, I did not. Yeah. I didn't.
I would surprise you. It just takes more than one thing to really shock yourself.
Oh, as much as I wish I could have said,
I know.
You know, I took the month off and I.
Yeah, I rationalized it, right?
Not even rationalize it. I knew I was wrong, but you used the word shift. A true character shift, something where you are changing the way you act and think on a day-to-day basis, is not going to happen overnight. Something where inherently in the deepest parts of your brain that has to change, that is an ongoing process. And to this day, I'm still recovering and thinking about how I can be better and improve and make sure that nothing like that ever happens again. Because again, I had to undergo an extreme change in how I thought and how I acted and how I make content, by the way, because how I think and how I act reflects the content I'm making. So, I mean, I think we can, if one were to look at the content we've made in the past 2 months, I think it's very evident that we are going for that elevated level of entertainment.
Right.
It could be
just as cool.
We're averaging the most views we ever have. Everything's fucking phenomenal.
You know what? It's the parallels are incredible here. So number one, just to give you a little, not advice, just insight into what I learned.
I love hearing this.
It's an insight for me. So okay. I can say what worked for me is that, and I've seen for a lot of other people is that you were right that I would be surprised if you just like, oh, oops, I'm going to be a different guy. That doesn't work.
Doesn't happen, yo.
But there are these moments eventually when you go through so much fucking pain that you can make that ultimate shift. Mm-hmm. And once you do make that shift, it gets much easier because you become congruent.
Yep.
Before that, you're almost faking it till you make it, right? And there's two ways you can fake it till you make it. But you know, my point is, did you ever have one moment where you were like, whoa, did you have a wake up moment? And now, you know, every day it's a prospect.
Yeah.
Was there a wake up where you said, you know what? I fucking get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was that about?
It happened, I think it happened close to the beginning of this year when I watched some of the content I made in 2017, my blow up year, like everything leading up to Japan, and even some of the interviews I watched after Japan of me, like I did an interview with Casey Neistat, and I was on 60 Minutes, and I would go back and watch that, and I'd see myself still not fully comprehending what happened, and to me, I was finally looking at, I genuinely believed I was viewing a different person. I was like, Wait, that was me.
Call that growth, buddy.
I was like, the guy in that skin is also me. Weird fucking feeling. Really weird. Some of the old videos I made, I can't even watch them.
Yeah.
Because it feels like such a removed part of me, and I guess it is growth.
No,
it's
too.
It's just weird to see because it's all online. Yo, it's not like private. It's not me growing up as like a person and it's all on my own. It's everyone can see it.
I can feel your pain.
Exactly.
I look like I always said, yeah, exactly. like the movie, right? So, you know, that's all over the world, right? And, you know, you can't change what you did. You just can't, right? But you can, I think the greatest testament you do is how you live today.
Yep.
If you were still doing that shit the same way, then you're still that person.
Yep.
If you're not, you're the biggest inspiration. You have the ability to inspire more people than anyone I know.
Yeah.
More than me. You have an entire generation of people that look up to you. And you could, and by the way, and it's not mutual exclusive. You can make them laugh and be fucking wild and crazy and have a positive message.
Yep.
Or you can be wild, crazy, and be an asshole.
Yep.
And you seem like you're on the path of having a positive message, but you might be fucking whack.
The message has always been positive. That's the thing I definitely want to make clear is like the message has always been positive. And the intent, like you said, has always been positive. But sometimes the intent is irrelevant, depending on the specific case. But I agree. I want to get back to a place where we are doing some sort of like daily or like tri-weekly content output. It's just hard because you have to, you know, infrastructure, editors, videographers.
Who's your core? See, how many followers do you have?
Followers?
Yeah, like how does it work? What's the terminology?
Yeah, followers.
Followers on YouTube?
Yeah, I got subscribers on YouTube. I got like 19.4, I think, 19.4 mil. And then Instagram,
give
like
the
16.
Demographics. What's your sweet? Who is Logan Paul's like? I know you obviously have people all it, but what's your big sweet spot?
18 to 24. So all right. So kids.
And has it changed in the last 3 years?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it growing with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So it grows with you.
It's growing with me, and also like we are aging up. We do a podcast now. Like I don't see any 12-year-olds listening to fucking podcasts.
Right.
They're kids my age, 18 to 24, or 18 to like 35, who want to learn and hear about life.
Right.
So yeah, a lot of our shit is aimed towards the older demo, where we are actually right at the cusp of like truly breaking into it. We're kind of just teetering on the edge of like, hey, it's very clear there's a different direction in our content, and some people see it. And I just have to find a way to optimize because I love the direction I'm going.
What's your day like? Tell me about your typical day for you.
Every day is different. Every day is different. I would say, if there's a workout in there, like
that's
the start of my day. I try to get, dude. Thank you.
What's the
I just box
what,
now
what,
though.
What's the whole thing now with that? I always see all this shit, boxing, slapping. What's the whole fucking story?
Bro,
the slap thing.
I mean, people in the face. I like to hit people in the face.
What's the story with the slap guy, by the way?
What? This is so I entered a slap competition, and then you go. We were gonna fly to Russia,
right,
and enter a slap competition. They have it every year.
It doesn't surprise you it's in Russia, by the way.
Oh, it's in Russia. There's no way this would go down in the United States. Right. So we're two dudes stand across from each other and go slap for slap. First one to quit or get knocked out, lose.
Ivan and Gumbel.
Yeah, exactly. So I started training for this shit because I wanted to do it. It was a sick piece of content.
How do you do that? How do you train for a slap?
Oh man, you do these like chest pulls. I don't even know what they're called. These chest pulls. Then you just
Wise?
You just slap shit. You get your hands rough and tough. You grip things.
Do you get slapped as part of the train tour?
I got slapped by my editor, who, by the way, shout out Hayden, he hits fucking hard.
Ah!
Yo, he forgot to tell me that he did 5 months of boxing. So it's not like he's like a editor who also like kind of knows how to hit. Like 5 months of boxing is a lot. So
explain how does the competition work? Explain it.
Man, you just fucking go and you slap some dudes in the face, and if you knock them out, you move on to the next round. And like that was the idea. So then we had this dude come to my house. And I was gonna slap him because I'd never slapped a human before. I'd just been slapping like lettuce and shit. And
I'm glad you didn't say you just slapped goats and fucking pigs.
No animals.
Just lettuce. No animals.
I did slap a butt.
Lettuce has feelings too. Fucking social justice warrior.
Vegan.
You know, there's a few snowflakes
like
out there that got really triggered by that.
Oh, bro, lettuce is alive.
Fucking got feeling, man. Oh, fuckers, though. Yeah.
So I slapped this dude in the face and I knocked him out. I knocked him the fuck out, and
Where'd you catch the guy?
Right in the button.
Yeah.
Literally right in
the
button.
Chin, right?
And that's where I was aiming. I'm pretty like pinpoint with my shit.
Right.
So I hit him there, knocked him out, and he collapsed. And I think everyone on my team who was so excited to go to Russia, by the way, the next day, we'd already bought flights, everything was confirmed. Everyone kind of was like, oh, wow, that was pretty fucking violent. Like, even me, like who's like a tough dude. And like, I enjoy a good conflict, a physical altercation, but like, it wasn't, he didn't defend him. He couldn't defend himself. The idea was just, so this dude was knocked out cold. I talked to him, unaware of who he was or what he was doing for the next hour. I'm like, I have no desire to do that to anyone
right.
anymore who's defenseless. Like, I'll do it in a boxing match, no problem.
So the guy you said, go ahead and fucking slap me? Like,
he was the slap master.
The slap master.
He even said after I knocked him out, he goes, you can't post that video, bro. I'm the slap master. I'm like,
you make him famous, though.
Well, he was
the slap master got knocked. That's fucking good for him, probably.
He was supposed to come over,
should handle it the
take
right
my
way.
Slap, and then teach me how to slap. But it turns out I don't need much fucking training, bro. Shit.
Dude, fucking that lettuce was obviously, they're like Rocky hitting the meat. You were going worked, after the
bro.
Fucking lettuce,
the
right?
The lettuce worked, dude.
I can see the video right now.
We got we got ballistic dummies and everything. I was hitting everything, dude.
Meat. So the rush to slap is contest is all.
So I backed out, yeah.
That's probably a good move, I think.
Probably a good move. It's the smartest shit I've done in my life.
I've been
I was
in rush.
Like, yo, it was seriously another Japan moment. I swear to God, I was standing there and I was like, if I do this competition and this dude named Dumpling, who, by the way, wins every year. He's 300 pounds, and he knocks motherfuckers out with his open palm. If Dumpling hits me in the face and I get some sort of brain damage and my life is ruined,
right?
What was...
Pretty stupid.
What am I, a fucking moron?
Right. That's the old Logan Paul.
That's the old me would be like, yeah, let's fucking do it. And I was like, I'm 24 now. I don't got to do that shit.
Let me ask you another question, right? I want to go into a very important subject. Something that I can trace back. Pretty much every mistake I made to chasing a woman. I was so into.
Are you serious?
Since I'm 5 years old.
Yo, that's, wow.
I love women. I fucking love beautiful women. Love them.
Really?
I love all women, but especially beautiful. I don't deny my wife. but now I'm with the same woman for 11 years and she's the greatest.
Wow,
she's changed my life and she's the best person in the world.
That's awesome.
I'm loyal and I love being loyal, but it was the first time in my life I ever was.
Do you ever think about not being loyal?
Never with her.
You're lying.
No, never.
Don't you lie.
Nope. I did my best dating after I was married. I'll tell you why I'm loyal to her, okay? Not only because I love her to death. I would never risk losing what I have with her. In other words, I'm for the first time in my life, I'm actually happy. Why would I, if you don't understand what it is, trust, relationships are all based on trust. If you, mm-hmm. you could overcome anything but a lack of trust. Once there's a lack of trust, you can't recover.
Yeah, that's so tough.
To me, and I think part of it's like sacrificing a bit, and I don't mind it at all. I'm never tempted even.
Well, plus, like, I'm gonna be honest, Jordan, you might be at that age where it's tough to get a solid ting nowadays. Dude. Like, imagine if you were single.
Buddy. Blue Chew. Jordan. There's always Blue Chew.
How
Stop.
Much are you getting paid for? Is it like an ongoing thing?
No, you know,
Colin. Can I, the fuck?
Can I tell you a funny story? Let me tell you about Viagra. So
don't
I
do it.
No, this is a great story. So this, I was with this woman, right? She was the first Miss Soviet Union. She's probably listening. She'll fucking say, "Mother, that's what happened."
Oh,
I wanted to teach her a lesson, so I took a double dose.
We just met. So
and when you take your eyes, you see fucking blue. It like makes the whole.
So are you fucking out of spite? It sounds like you're.
Angry. I wanted to set the tone. She was like fucking 5'11", like towering over me, a Ruski. Jordan, we know you're so stupid. You never land on moon. This is
5'11" Ruski.
Oh yeah.
Was she a cosmonaut?
She was the first Miss Soviet Union.
That's awesome.
The first and the last, right? Named Yulia, okay? And Yulia...
Did they kill her off?
No, she's still alive, okay, Yulia, okay? She's living somewhere, I think, in Florida. Beautiful girl, right? But, you know, we know you land on moon. This is hoax. This is great hoax.
Wow.
Oh, she was convinced.
Like that.
Yeah. You know, I love that. She thought Russians invented bazooka chewing gum, the TV, and fucking...
Bazooka chewing gum?
Yeah.
I think not. Easy with that one.
But anyway, I had what we thought, the double dosed her. And I was like,
Yo, that's a fucking, I love that idea.
So tell me about women, what's 24?
24, yeah, man.
You have a steady girlfriend?
No, I had one. I'm just doing a lot of things and I'm not quite ready to fully devote myself to another human. Like,
I get it, buddy.
You know, just time is not something that I have. Copious amounts of.
But are you like at 24? You horny all the time?
No, bro. I'm not. I talked about it on my podcast. My libido is low.
Really?
My brother's.
Well, I don't think you lack testosterone.
No, I don't. You know? But it's my libido. It's not like I'm like asexual. And I talked to my brother about this too. And because we do, our lives tend to run parallel on the same path. And he goes, "Yo, when I'm grinding extremely hard, you know, 12 to 16 hours a day." I like fucking is just not something that's on the top of my priority list.
So just fucking self-help, basically?
Not even, dude.
No, stop.
Not
it.
Even kidding. Not even kidding. We talked about
it. I'm so sorry.
No, I know. I was like,
life's simple pleasures. You know?
No, I know. My brother.
You're
and
always
I
your own best friend on some level. You know?
I'm not even masturbating that much.
Does it bother you at all or no?
Not even in the slightest. Not even in the slightest.
Because I go through my ups and downs, right? Like that. But
it's all about ups and downs.
I'm 56, so like this point. But I take testosterone. I think every man should.
What does it do? Because my roommate Mike started doing that.
Well, I don't take more of it than I should. I take, you know, replacement therapy.
What do you feel? What does it do for you?
Okay, so if you took extra testosterone, right, then you could build muscle faster, recover from exercise.
Sounds great.
Yeah, but what I take like 0.7 every week, which is the equivalent dose if I was 25 years old that my body would naturally be producing. And I think most men in their 50s do that if they have money and access, because your testosterone naturally drops. It's not good for you. Your bones aren't as dense. Okay, you can't build muscles faster. Really? That's horny. You feel more alive. Yeah.
But it's not like steroids.
By definition, it is a steroid.
Oh, so this would show up on a drug test?
Well, yes, but you're not abusing a steroid.
I can't because of this boxing match.
No, you can't do it then. And plus, for you, your testosterone is probably, you know, of sky high asses at your age. You know, I would think that, you know?
I can assure you it is, man. It really is.
So there's no girl. What was the last girlfriend you had?
Girlfriend? She was an actress.
Really? What was her name?
What'd you say?
What was her name?
Rhymes with Zoe.
I just got a mark that was 1 hour. I could talk to this fucking guy all.
No, it's all good.
You're one interesting dude. So tell me, what was him? Rhymes with Zoe?
Rhymes with Zoe. Bro, but like, oh, I don't know, bro. She was great.
Was she hot?
Yeah,
man. Really hot? What's your type? Do you have a type?
Huh?
I have a type.
I do have a type. What's your type?
Blonde hair, beautiful face, thin ankles.
What?
I can't fucking take fat. I hate fat ankles. They drive me.
You're not a cable guy.
I have a phobia of it. All right. I feel bad about it. No, I feel bad about it. I know it's not the right. I know it's unevolved. I run away.
I don't think you should feel bad about it.
I feel like this.
Why?
I'm definitely
afraid
of it.
It's your preference.
How about this? I could take 10 pieces of blue chew. It's the fucking fucking fat ankles. I'm done.
Yo,
there's no amount of blue chew.
That's one of the weirdest quirks
visuals
I've heard. No.
Fat ankles?
Also visual. No, like, I've never heard anyone say, like, I like a woman with thin ankles.
Yeah, so I met my current wife, and she was all bundled up.
I've seen her, bro.
Shit.
She got some thin-ass ankles.
She does. Of course she does. I couldn't. It's not. I'm on my fault. I can't help myself. It's beyond my control.
It's Annie, yeah?
Yeah, it's Annie. Yeah. Yeah, beyond she has the best ankles ever, right?
Yeah.
But sick. When I saw her, and I saw her ankles, even though she had a hat, I'm like, God would not give those ankles to a girl that wasn't this beautiful. It would be like an insomnia on God's part. Because you can always tell the ankles and the wrists, if their ankles at all. You get it?
What about a girl with big hands?
Not how big hands, it's the
it's
the size. A lot of those girls with thicker ankles, they peak in high school. That's what happens. They're hot in high school. They're fucking the cheerleader, this and that. And then the next thing you know, you're 24. You're like, holy, they are broken down valise at that point. You're like, man, what the fuck?
Yeah, you know? Man. Some of these girls, they stop taking care of their ankles when they get older. It's just something you gotta be wary of. Absolutely.
I know. So I'm just kidding. I know I have a phobia. I gotta go to the fucking get medicine over there. But I'm happy. I got a great ankles, you know? But tell, so you have a type?
Yeah, man. I like brunettes. Ideally in my mind, because I'm the type of person that just like arms open to everyone, I don't have a type. But every time I find
got a type.
Brunettes and dirty blondes, I'm just
really
like,
tall, short, spinner, non-spinner.
It's
you can be honest.
Tall, tallish.
How tall are you? Like 6'2"?
I'm 6'2". So like a 5'7" to like 5'9".
Okay.
But again, man, I'm just.
But if she's a 5'5", if she's there, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
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 What about?
Man, talking about love girls is weird, bro. Like,
built out here, big breasts.
Big breasts?
Yeah. I don't care.
Bro, I'm not into breasts.
I don't care.
No, I'm not into breasts, but like.
I'm unaffected.
Unaffected. I'm a butt guy. I am a butt guy, which like, I feel so bad for these
and
girls.
And I couldn't agree more, yeah.
They spend so much money on fake boobs.
So
stupid. And by the way, like,
I think it makes me
0% more attractive.
It takes away. I think it detracts when they're too big.
Oh, no.
Right? It doesn't.
For sure. When they're too big. Some of these girls really send it, dude. And mad respect, by the way. A lot of dudes like that. Not me. I'm a natural type.
Do you know that my wife had her breast reduced?
They were really?
To the best
really?
In the world.
Like, how'd that make you feel?
Oh, I didn't know, because she's older now. It comes after a while, it becomes.
Oh, they were really bothering her.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. She got the best thing, but after a while, it's almost like a health hazard at a certain point, you know?
Did she have back problems?
No, but she was heading towards her, I bet, with
really?
Punching over. Yeah, was sure. It's a lot to carry.
There's still, excuse my ignorance, a silicone insert for breast reductions, yeah, yes? No, like, there's still.
She had also some fibroids. So, like, after a while, women got a tough. Like, women, listen, we got it easy. Their plumbing is much more fucking complex than ours.
I'm like,
the fact that it even works is a miracle. Shit, right?
I cannot comprehend. You know? I don't even try to fathom how hard it is for women sometimes, even in like social relationships, when I hear about like the drama between female, I'm just like, oh my God. It's,
you know what also bothers me? Do you have a lot more male viewers than female?
Yeah, I do.
Me too.
Not a lot. Not a lot.
I wonder why.
I wonder why.
I can't figure it out.
That is interesting. No, I mean, I'm like 60-40. So I got girls, but like,
yeah, I think I'm like 85-15 maybe, I think. I don't know.
Dang.
I know, it's pretty bad. I gotta smooth out
people. You think that's possible though? You seem like a dude that like all dudes are like, that's the fucking man.
No, is it
like
thing,
what is it? What is
I
the
am
girl? The
most, I am so respectful to all women.
Yeah, of course.
I like being.
Oh, I see.
I like, listen, part of what I say is funny for shock value, right? I mean, I mean the stuff about the ankles, but I know I'm not right about this. It's my own private problem. I admit it, right?
With what?
I the ankle shit.
I don't think that's a problem. I don't think there's anything wrong.
If you have fat ankles, I'm sorry. I feel that way. I'm sure everyone else loves it. I don't like it. Right. Anyway, to each their own. Right. Okay. But I'll tell you what I love. What I love about my wife most, and for all women, a kind heart.
Ah, yeah.
I'm dead serious.
You can't find those anymore.
But if they're not hot as shit, I don't care about the kind heart.
Oh.
I'm being honest.
Really?
I couldn't get past it.
Wait. In what manner? Like a sexual
relationship? I think people that say, oh, it's just about the beautiful mind. I think it's a load of shit. I think it's authentic. I think that, you know, you have to be physically attractive.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, man. Like,
that doesn't matter. But I'm not saying whatever you think is beautiful. So to get to be attracted,
yeah,
however you define beauty and attraction,
yeah,
it's and way, then it's emotionally it's absolutely connected
subjective.
To, right?
Yeah.
The ankle thing is just my thing. You don't have it. Do you have anything about women, like one feature
that I don't like?
No, it's like a deal breaker. Like, I'm an ankle deal breaker. You have any deal breakers?
Man, that's
like
tricky.
Big fake nails, buff, big hair.
I mean, there's like the obvious. I mean,
stripper over the top type. Boy, you like that?
Man, I don't know, man. I just want a respectable girl. Like, if I could get a girl who, like, in another life was a teacher, like a first grade teacher, but happens to do entertainment because she loves it. Like, that's my ideal woman. Just a simple kind of like, would love to watch me chop wood on a Sunday type of girl.
I love that. They have like, it's like in the movie has those guys, girl.
That's
no,
exactly.
There are some.
Yo, if you exist, please.
No, listen, they're amazing. They're for you, dude, you can have your pick of the litter. Last question.
Right.
I want to ask you one more question before we go.
Here we go.
The stupid obvious question is, what's in the future for Logan? Go you can ask. I want to ask you a different question. All right. I want, in terms of like, just from a business perspective, right? Mm-hmm. You want to give advice to this, like, a lot of people are out there. Everyone's on social media, right? You're a master of this medium. You are a fucking master. Okay. What would you get? What's the one piece of advice that you give to everybody, whether they're in it for money or just to, if you're putting yourself out there, you know, if you want to get more followers, and everyone wants more followers, I think, right? What would you do that you think is not for like someone like you, but just a generic piece of advice that could work for everyone? You have one thing they could do.
Do it different. It's my tagline. Be a maverick. No, seriously though. Do it different.
You and Steve Jobs.
No, I mean, well, it is, everyone's doing the same shit nowadays. And as nice as it is to be inspired by someone and try to copy someone's model or formula, right. I don't think any major internet creator is like the one to his or her right. That each person fills an extremely different niche in the platform, and they're there for a reason.
Right.
So if you're the next Logan Paul or you're the next David Dobrik, like, no, you're not. You're the next, insert your name here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Celeste, I watched the movie last night. It was about with The Rock in it. You see this movie, a wrestling movie?
What's it called?
My Family, I Fight My Family, something like that.
I did not see that movie.
Dude,
should I watch it?
Yes, you should, because it's exactly what The Rock said, what Dwayne Johnson.
What'd he say?
In the movie, she's the girl says, or the guy says, "Can you, hey Rock, can you give us some advice about our career? Like, how do we become the next Rock?
Yep.
And he goes and starts yelling. He takes on his wrestling character, as a joke. But the whole point was, he goes, you can't be the next Rock. You got to be the next you.
Boom.
Boom. Exact just same thing.
I haven't even seen the movie. Yeah.
So in terms of, like, you know, what you're saying is be authentic to you.
Unless you suck.
And what if you suck?
Then you gotta fake that shit till you make it.
Tell me, how do you do that though?
What do you mean?
If you suck, let's say you're like not, you are, how do you like take what, what's, it's gotta be, is there,
because everyone says be authentic, right? Just be yourself. Yeah. Well, have you considered what if you fucking suck?
Right.
Like, what if you're like a negative person who's not kind to people and not charismatic in any way, shape, or form? Like, don't be yourself. Sounds like you're gonna have a tough time being yourself and making friends. You gotta adapt. And sure, then eventually you'll be exposed for being like a fake or like a snake or whatever it is, but at least you'll maybe attain some form of success. Yes, the cliche answer is be yourself.
No, dude.
Be yourself. Well, what if you suck, dude?
It's a great fucking...
Then change how you act so you're dope, and then you can be authentic.
Something I would say, by the way. It's great.
Fuck!
Great fucking answer. No, it's a good answer, buddy. I respect it, and it's truth, right?
Yeah.
One more question. I got one more before you go, right?
Bro, all
right.
I love it, yeah.
No, that was a really good answer, okay? In terms of, like, social media, like, this whole perception that there's, like, everyone always puts their best self out on social media. Like, it always looks like everyone's having a great time. Everyone's smiling. Yeah. And the whole argument against that's like, oh, it really hurts people because people look and they people feel depressed when they're on social because they feel like, do you think that's bullshit or true? You know what I'm saying?
I know it's true.
You think it's
I know it's true. I would like to believe it's not true because I believe in people and I believe that people shouldn't be judging their lives on how others look on through a fucking screen. Like, this is nothing. This whole thing is fake. This might as well, in my mind, this does not exist.
Right.
Like, if I can be an artist and create and happen to have this thing, then that's my outlet, perfect. But yeah, it's a damn shame. I think if the generation beneath me and the generation below them grow up knowing that it sort of is a facade and what you see online isn't real life, it's going to be much healthier. Granted, that's much easier said than done.
I think it's just human nature because you see, and even though you know it,
in comparison and wanting to be validated. Like, if I had Instagram when I was growing up in high school, and I was like popularized by how many likes my photo got, I can't imagine what this does to kids growing up. Like, kids are basing their self-worth based on how many likes their photos gets. What the fuck is that? That's horrible. Some kid's going to grow up and thinking he's not worthy because he can't get over 10 likes, you know?
Yeah. That is a problem. How do you resolve that though? It ain't going away.
I think at the really micro level, it starts with parenting and encouraging kids that, again, it's going to be hard, that this is like a device and this should not tell you how important you are.
Would you allow your kids to, what age would you give your own kids a phone?
It's tough, man. That's real tough. I can't say, because by the time I have kids, like,
if it was today, like in this evolution of phones, what, you know, okay, let's say you can block certain features, but when would you allow them to have real access to, like, so, you know, social media?
I'd probably do like, I wasn't allowed till I was 14. So I was late for my friends. I would probably do like 8 or 9.
8 or 9.
Yeah. Which is still young. Because I know my 5-year old.
Anyone knows the right answers.
Well, my 5-year old's gonna come home and she's gonna be like, oh, Sally has an iPhone 25. Like, where's mine? And I'm gonna be like, I don't fucking know. It's my bad. And I'm gonna feel shitty because I haven't supplied her with the technology that all her friends have around her. And by the way, like, who knows what it's like? Maybe you're just gonna look in the future and like things start popping out holographically.
I'm kind of glad my kids are grown. It's nerve wracking.
Great, by the way.
They are great.
Good looking young lad.
I got one more thing to ask you.
Not,
this is it. I promise. Already. All right. No, not what you would give advice to yourself. What one piece of advice to give to everyone who's watching that's in that age of 18 to 25? What's the advice? Stop being a pussy. I love it.
Serious.
No, I love it.
You are not a victim. You are a person who makes shit fucking happen. You are going to take this world over and you're not going to let anyone tell you can't.
Empowerment.
I am my whole movement, and it's always been that everything you ever need and want to do comes from right here. It's going to come from you. You're not going to be able to love someone else or love what you do if you don't love yourself first. Right here, blossom it, regurgitate that fucking awesomeness that you have inside you, and stop being a pussy.
Dude,
you told me this. You said this, and I repeated it on my podcast. You said you don't, or you said the world doesn't happen to you. You got to happen to the world.
There you go.
Which is so true, man. It's so true.
It is.
Go make shit happen for yourself. Don't be a person who is a circumstance of his environment. Shape your environment.
That's your definition of who you are, buddy.
Oh!
Guys, Logan Paul, my money is on you, pal.
Thank you, bro.
In three years from now, you'll come back. Or in a year, you'll be more successful, I promise. I know for sure. You're awesome. Thanks, buddy.
I appreciate you, Jordan.
Yeah, man.
That was
all right.